Imagine this. You're working on a jigsaw puzzle. It's 1,000 pieces and you're methodically going through them all, connecting what goes together, maybe categorizing the different types, colors, and patterns. And while you're doing this, all of a sudden that 1,000 piece puzzle becomes a 1,500 piece puzzle. And oh yeah, the picture has changed. And this keeps happening over and over and over again. It would drive you crazy. But unfortunately, for business owners and business professionals, this story is one that's all too familiar.
The problem we're solving is for a particular client, they're going to get a huge pile of evidence, a huge corpus of evidence, whether they're a law firm from their own client or from opposing counsel. That's a separate pile of evidence than the client next door got. They all get their own huge haystacks. And somewhere in that haystack are the smoking guns and the incriminating emails or whatever that are going to make their case or exonerate their client. That's what they're looking for. And we don't know what it looks like, and they don't know what it looks like until they dig in, because it's a different haystack every time, and the needles are different every time.
That's AJ Shunker, the founder and CEO of Everlaw, a legal tech company that is taking impossible tasks out of the hands of lawyers and using technology to make practicing law easier. Everlaw is spinning that hay into gold. But the question is, how? When the stakes are high, and the evidence Everlaw is tasked to find could make or break the case, what does it take to find those impossible-to-find, ever-changing needles? And how does finding those needles not only impact a case, but transform a client's bottom line? We've got all the pieces of the puzzle ready for you on this episode of Business X Factors. I'm Jeremy Bergeron, Vice President of Media Strategy at Mission.org, and this is Business X Factors. Each week, we'll take a look at the secret sauce that takes companies to the highest levels of success, and then unpack how they actually got there. We'll explore how these organizations are run, what's so special about the people, culture, and processes that make it all happen. Lawyers like facts, right? So let me break some down for you. Fact number one, AJ is not a lawyer. He's a tech guy. Fact number two, before he was a tech guy, he was actually a math guy.
I didn't get really into computer science until college. So I was a classic math nerd in high school and did a bunch of competitions and stuff. And my dad's a physics professor at Yale, and I think that kind of bled over a bunch. And I think in college, coming in and exploring that and then taking my first couple CS classes was really transformative. It was, you know, all the cool stuff about math. Everyone thinks math is cool, but I thought it was like a real beauty to it and an elegance and an intellectual challenge. It's an excitement about taking some simple rules and then extrapolating where they go, you get really complex results. And by the way, that's really similar to the law, right? The law is like you take some rules and then the actual interplays of these rules leads to really rich and interesting discussions. Computer science had the same thing. It's just logic. You write code. But upside was you can also build stuff that's actually useful, right, to a lot of people. There's a real satisfaction in that building and that combination of the logic component and the elegance of it with the utility of it was just totally intoxicating to me.
AJ's fascination with computer science revealed itself over and over. He became more and more preoccupied with building things, working on side projects, and generally annoying his academic advisors who wished he would focus on his studies. But those little side projects proved to be where AJ found his wellspring of inspiration.
A law firm came to the Cal CS PhD department looking for a technical expert. They had a technical lawsuit. They needed some advice and help and a consultant to help them. I happened to know the stuff they needed. And so I got recommended and I worked with them part-time. At the time, I was like, great, it's going to augment my fellowship money. It'll be a fun little side gig. But when I actually worked with them, that's where it got really fascinating. It was really smart people working on really interesting problems. And for better or worse, the technology they were using just really wasn't up to the task in a way I thought was suitable. You know, looking at what they're using, it was clear just knowing what I knew about CS, computer science, that you can make something much better. And I think that was, the seed was planted then. Wow. Really rich area, high stakes, big stuff. You know, there's not a lot of technologists in the space solving these hard problems. And I think we talked a little bit about why that is. I went on into this other startup. We got acquired and, you know, I'd stayed in touch with these lawyers at the law firm and they were like, hey, are you going to do this thing? And eventually I was like, yeah, I'm going to do the thing. And quit my job and started writing code in my bedroom in North Berkeley. And that was the big jump.
Let's get back to those facts we were talking about earlier. That thing AJ decided he wanted to do wasn't just another side project. And even though Everlaw was born in his bedroom, what AJ was building was about to turn into something real and very much game-changing. But just like how AJ isn't a lawyer, Everlaw is not a law company. And believe it or not, that simple fact is one of the key differentiators between Everlaw and the other law tech companies.
Our industry is legal tech. And you'll see that in most of the companies in our space. They're legal companies, right? So their founders came from the legal industry. They're litigation support professionals, they're former attorneys, you name it. I'd understand why that sounds like a really reasonable profile. Now, if you know my background, you know that I don't have that profile at all. I don't have a legal background. I don't have a law degree. I don't have any lawyers in my family. And so you might ask, what the heck am I doing here? And why do I think not only do we have a chance to succeed, but why do I think the background that I bring and the perspective that we bring is actually best positioned us to succeed of anybody? And I think that's an interesting thing to consider. Like, what is that X factor? Why are we different? And the answer is, if you look at the space, I think the emphasis in legal tech should be on the tech, right? And it turns out that building really good software is really, really hard. The things like big data at scale, artificial intelligence, real-time collaboration, these are the problems people are trying to solve in the industry. And so understanding the problems is really important. And that's why I think having a legal background can help you there, but it's not super, super hard. We've got dozens of lawyers on staff. We have tens of thousands of users we could talk to at a moment's notice, and we do all that. We understand the problem really well. But building a really robust solution is much, much harder. It requires specific domain competencies that you don't just get. Domain competencies not in law, but in product and in engineering that are critical for doing this really well. I think one of our competitors says this, you know, designed for lawyers by lawyers. Okay, that kind of makes sense on the face of it. But when you look a little more deeply, it doesn't make that much sense to me. If you are a doctor and you have an idea for an MRI machine, you don't go to another doctor and say, hey, build me this MRI machine. You go to an engineer who's really good at building these machines, and that's a very fruitful partnership. So I would say the first thing we brought to the table, unlike all of our competitors, was a really deep product and engineering competency that was really well situated to solve the actual problems that needed to be solved. And that's actually a significant difference in our industry.
Listening to AJ describe how his unique background acted as a key differentiator for the company reminded me of another story. When Richard Branson started his Virgin Empire with small record stores, he liked to say that he and his team were music fans, but knew nothing about the music industry. They used their naivety as a strength and leaned into things differently than anyone else, and then did it again in the airline industry, and again in many others. As a result, Branson and his team created experiences that everyone wanted to take part in, and the diverse companies took off. With tech as its backbone, Everlaw was set up to tackle some of the problems that were cropping up more and more in the legal world. What kinds of problems are we talking about? With any legal case, there is a burden of proof. Where does that burden come from? Evidence. And what does evidence look like? Well, these days, it's literally anything, including digital fingerprints, files, and even lines of code, which says nothing of the millions of other data points from a variety of sources.
When we're looking at litigation, it might be the CEO sent this email off, and it was the wrong thing to say or the right thing to say. Or a manager did something they shouldn't have done, or it's written out. It's email communications, it's Word documents, it's PDFs, it's Zoom meetings and audio recordings, it's chat transcripts. Somewhere in all of that is the interesting stuff. And the interesting stuff is dependent on the matter at hand. The problem we're trying to solve is, hey, here's a huge haystack getting bigger every year, and you got to find the needles in it. We don't even know what the needles look like. Literally 0.1% of these things are interesting to you.
To bring it back to that puzzle from the beginning, you can think of it like this. You're finally close to finishing the puzzle. There's a piece or two missing, but you still have a million pieces to sort through to find those pieces that you need. That's the task at hand when Everlaw comes into the picture. And what Everlaw brings to the table in terms of a solution is what makes the company so unique.
How do you do that? There's no single answer. It requires attacking it from a thousand angles, most of them technology-based. And then when you found the needles, how do you knit together a compelling story? What does it take to do that, to collaborate with your peers, to build an argument that can sway a jury or a judge or opposing counsel? Those are fundamentally hard problems. And so actually engineering this means building technology that can handle ingesting zillions of documents at high speed and short notice, extracting tons of information from them, creating visualizations, using artificial intelligence to tell you where in the haystack to look, or even just mapping out the haystack for you. Each of these things requires tons of technology at scale and requires really good engineering practices.
Every case is different, which means what's important for one argument is just another piece of hay for a lawyer working on different litigation. A damning email in a fraud case won't help the lawyer looking for security footage of a break-in. But each of those lawyers are looking for those specific pieces of evidence in the same pile of data that is only growing ever larger. And you're probably thinking to yourself, well, how difficult is it to search for an HTML file versus an MP4 video? And that's a fair question. And the answer is, it's not hard. The difficulty comes when you need to search through a stack of evidence that grows exponentially and gets more sophisticated with each passing minute, while the search tools always remain the same. So the fact is that the tools that once worked well are quickly becoming obsolete.
As communications moved electronically, so the tools started to try to catch up. And so it moved from files and filing cabinets to, you know, what documents do I have on my local machine? And then what's on our file server? And then what's in the cloud repository? What's every email I've ever sent and every Slack chat I've ever written and every Snapchat I've ever sent, right? So the volume has continued to grow in a really big way. But the dominant tools in the industry, the current dominant tool, is an on-premises tool, right? So it's a tool where if you are a legal practitioner, you buy this software, you buy servers, you install it on those servers locally, and hopefully you bought enough servers to handle the load coming in today.
So with so many data inputs and sources and an ever-growing volume of information, both relevant and irrelevant, what's a company to do to find the needles in the haystacks when they don't even know what they're searching for? How is Everlaw making a difference here? Find out after the break. For many engineers, it's pretty easy to build a widget for this and a gadget for that, and present clients with a plethora of ways to solve their problems. But the onus would be on them to figure out how best to use the tech. A true solution only gets adopted when it solves a problem and does so in a way that makes someone's life easier. So rather than put a gaggle of potentially helpful tools in front of customers, Everlaw took a different approach.
You might imagine like, hey, this is a tough problem. Let's give you 57 knobs so you can tweak every single one of them to find what you want. But that's counterproductive. That'll obfuscate the underlying thing. Look, we just got to find these needles. Where are the needles? So coming at it, thinking about it, our job is to handle all of that incredible complexity and sophistication so that you as an end user can have a really good experience and do what you want to do, which is practice the law. That's clear separation of concerns in my mind is really valuable.
Of course, there's a stereotype that lawyers are stodgy, old-fashioned, and slow to change their ways. But we're talking about facts here, remember? And as it turns out, lawyers are just like everyone else when it comes to evolving the digital age.
I'm optimistic about lawyers' willingness to change. As I said, if you give them great tech, they will use it. I will say, of course, as with any industry, there's going to be folks who are still insisting on writing their arguments by like etching them in stone tablets. There's going to be that person and you're not going to convince them. But the industry as a whole, especially with some of the less tenured folks driving a lot of this discovery stuff, means that they're more up on tech stuff and more, you know, willing to change. But most people are interested in something that makes their lives easier. So I'll just say the first thing to think about, the way I think you drive change for anybody, even stone tablet person, like obviously no one's writing a stone tablet. No one's even writing a typewriter. They're using a word processor. How did they get there? The way they got there was not that you made them do it, not even that you threw their typewriter out, but you put something in front of them that was just better. Hey, a word processor, I don't need to get the little white ribbon and delete. I can just go backspace. Oh, I can cut and paste. I can save this and make a copy. I can print it out. Like you just add functionality that's valuable and people will say, look, given the choice, I want to use this. And I think that's the easiest way to drive any change.
So what kind of tech are we talking about anyway? What are the tools the company has developed that sets it apart from those other legal tech firms and is replacing those stone tablets? Well, it starts with artificial intelligence.
we've got to give you a whole swath of tools, like a data visualization package to slice and dice what you're looking at. Really robust search tools. Potentially, if you have two principal people, find just the communications between them that didn't include anyone else, or maybe communication to a personal email address when they're on a work account, and then AI to go and say, like, let's map out that haystack for you, point you to the places to look. So if you think about that haystack, the simple way is, okay, I'm going to go look through every needle. And that's really tough, right? Maybe you can search by keywords, and that's going to isolate some stuff, but you have to know what you're looking for. So we offer two artificial intelligence-based solutions there that help you do this. One tool is where if you find some needles that you like, you hand them over to the AI and it learns from them and it says, if you like these needles, here are some other needles that look just like it. Go look at these things. And another one is, even if you've never touched the haystack at all, we have a tool that'll just break it down for you, map it out in terms of concepts and ideas and say, this part of the haystack is like this. And if you care about this stuff, look here. These are technologies that have existed in some form for a long time. There's been huge innovations in academia and tools like this kind of clustering that we're bringing to market that I love. I think it's like a really a big sea change in how people interact. How do you map out this huge haystack down to the document level, find that critical doc out of a million?
Everlaw's tech makes it possible for lawyers to find things they didn't know they were looking for and securely collaborate with colleagues anywhere and everywhere. And that means not only are more cases won, but productivity goes up in more ways than one. And when legal fees can literally mean the difference between profitability for your company and owing millions, finding the evidence that matters as quickly as possible can play a key role in the company's bottom line. Take Bank of America, for example. In 2014, they literally erased their own profitability by paying more than $6 billion in legal costs.
Just in terms of efficiency. There are so many documents to look through, you can never look through them all. Your client's going to pay you for some maximum amount of hours anyway. Your job is to find the important stuff. So we actually drive a lot of efficiency improvements for clients in a whole variety of ways. So we can reduce the time to review a document, or we can reduce that time by 30, 40, 50%. The total budget you can spend by 30%, 40% by actually helping you get through documents, annotate them and code them as it's known more efficiently and more accurately. And there's just a lot of good technology behind that. And that's meaningful when you got 100, 200, 300,000 documents to look through. Finding the important ones is all the more important. And we actually can measure this compared to the industry standards. For instance, a standard review rate is maybe 50 documents an hour. Using our tools, you can get up to 140 documents an hour as a reviewer.
Everlaw has set itself apart because it has found a way to solve the hardest problem of all. It's created the ability to find something you didn't even know you were looking for. That proverbial needle in a haystack. Everlaw has created a unique, effective, repeatable way to find it. It's a problem none of the legal tech companies before Everlaw were able to solve, and it's all thanks to AJ's unique background. By being able to take knowledge from one industry and apply it to a different one, they discovered a way to find the needles that no one else could and predict use cases his customers wouldn't have asked for while investing in tools that his competitors would have never thought of. And by doing this, he was able to solve the unsolvable jigsaw puzzle. You've been listening to Business X Factors, created by Mission.org and brought to you by Highland. If you like this show, please be sure you subscribe or follow us on your favorite podcast app. I'd be so grateful if you rated and reviewed this show on Apple Podcasts, as that really helps ensure that more amazing listeners like you find the show. Thanks for listening. I'm Jeremy Bergeron, and I'll catch you next time on Business X Factors.